Horowitz.
Adriana Hopkins with WSVN 7 News Miami. A Carnival spokeswoman says elevators and toilets were out for a few hours last night. The ship in the middle of a 7-day cruise from Florida. An engine fire crippled the Carnival Triumph last month. Fox News. We report. You decide.
This is a good year for St. Patrick's Day and the wearing of the green. The WVOX 54th Annual Fun-Filled Community Salute broadcast this year is on Friday the 15th. And the New York City Parade, of course, is on Saturday the 16th. They're both a lot of fun, and this year you can do both.
Spend Friday afternoon with your neighbors and Bill O'Shaughnessy and all of us at Dudley's Parkview overlooking the New Rochelle Marina.
This historic WVOX broadcast starts at noon and goes until late in the afternoon with great food, corned beef, burgers, fish and chips, and all of Dudley St. Patrick's special treats. Remember, this year the parade in New York City is on Saturday, and the WVOX live broadcast is on Friday, all afternoon at Dudley's Parkview near the marina at Hudson Park in Old New Rochelle.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for today. Our skies are going to be partly sunny. It's going to be windy, too. There is a chance of a flurry here and there. With temperatures range into the mid to upper 30s. Northwest winds at 15 to 20, gusting to 30 today. For tonight, partly cloudy. Overnight lows in the mid-20s. That sunshine giving way to an increase in clouds on Friday. Friday's high is a bit warmer into the mid-40s. At night, there's a chance of some rain showers during the evening. Rain and wet snow possible overnight. Nighttime lows mid-30s. Daytime on Saturday, a little mixed precipitation in the morning. Some occasional rain showers in the afternoon with their highs 40 to 45. Sunday, partly sunny. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of author Cynthia Ozick, Vincent Pastore, J.C. Penney, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours. Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, March 14th, 2013. The 84th day of winter, 6 days until spring. Next Wednesday, the 20th, is the first day of spring. This morning, however, it was quite cold, so winter has not given up, so don't count it out just yet. We have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 38 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 7:08 this morning. It will set at 7:01 this evening. We will have 11 hours and 53 minutes of daylight today. The moon rose at 8:20 this morning. It's high in the sky right now. It'll set at 10:17 this evening. We're 3 days past new moon. The next full moon is March 27th. We do not have our tide tables today, but I assure you the tides will rise and fall twice in the next 24 hours. Our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Today we honor Staff Sergeant Rex L. Shod, age 26, of Edmond, Oklahoma. He was with the 3rd Infantry Division, one of two United States soldiers killed when an Afghan soldier opened fire with a machine gun on a group of Afghan and U.S. soldiers at a military base in Wardak Province on March 11th. Today is the 14th. That's 3 days ago. The other was Captain Andrew M. Peterson Keel, age 28, of South Miami, Florida. He was with the Special Forces. He was with Special Forces. He was a commander assigned to the 3rd Special Forces Group. Specialist Cody Suggs D, age 22, of West Alexandria, Ohio. He was with the 1487th Transportation Company, died as a result of a non-combat incident in Kandahar on March 7th. And finally, Air Force Tech Sergeant Larry D. Bunn, age 43, of Bossier City, Louisiana. Sergeant Bunn was actually assigned to Southwest Asia. He was with the Air Force Reserve, and he died of a non-combat-related illness on March 7th. Notable among this week's honorees is that none were killed in combat. Two were murdered by an insurgent in Afghan Army uniform who was supposed to be on the side of the new government. One died of a non-combat illness, and one in a non-combat incident, which I've come to interpret at least some of the time as suicide, since there are so many of those. Not to say that is what happened to Specialist Suggs. There's just no specificity in these cases. Doesn't matter. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. I look forward to that day in the hopefully very near future when this feature comes to an end, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Fortunately, you do not have the right to be wrong today, because I have nothing to report on. Aren't you lucky? Just a quick PSA. We are having our annual St. Patrick's Day day-long broadcast from noon until 5 tomorrow, Friday the 15th. St. Patrick's Day, of course, is Sunday the 17th, but we're doing it on a weekday. We will all be there from time to time. Mr. O'Shaughnessy, Bill O'Shaughnessy, the owner of the station and our mentor, will be there probably all day. I don't know if he comes and goes, but he's generally there when I see him. Don Stevens will be there all day. Probably TJ McCormick will be there all day, and others. I'll certainly be there for a while, as will, I guess, pretty much everybody. Debbie, are you going to be there tomorrow? Probably. Okay. My guest today, again, that's Dudley's. I don't know if I mentioned the venue. I'm supposed to be a reporter and give you what, why, when, where, how. Well, the when is tomorrow, the what is the annual St. Patrick's Day broadcast, and the where is Dudley's Restaurant, which is, if you find Hudson Park, you'll find Dudley's. It's right as you approach Hudson Park. So we'll be looking for you, and you're all welcome to come. My guest today is Barry LePatner. Barry is a construction lawyer and author whose book, Too Big to Fall, has created a stir in many levels of government. Barry is an expert on bridges, probably the most expert on bridges anywhere. Basically, he documents the condition of 72,000 bridges that are in subpar condition across the United States, which number includes 8,000, if I got it right, he'll tell us in a minute, which will actually fall. It's not a question of will they fall, it's a question of they will fall. We just don't know when. It could be at any time. Joining us from his office in Manhattan, welcome, Barry LePatner.
Bob, good to be here with you and your listeners this morning.
Good morning. My pleasure to have you. Okay. Now, you say in your book, and you document on your website, and the website is saveourbridges.com for anybody who'd like to look it up. And again, the book is called Too Big to Fall. Barry LePatner is the author. You say that 72,000 bridges across the country are deficient in a serious way, and 8,000 are at imminent risk of collapsing. Is that true?
Well, it's true because the engineers who inspect these bridges on a regular basis have documented it annually, and because the federal government and the state transportation agencies all know this for a fact.
So in my readings, we were talking, actually you were inspired by the 2007, August 1st, I think, 2007 collapse of the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, hang on a second.
Well, it killed
about 13
and injured another 145 because it went straight down.
The point I'm getting to is that bridge had been inspected like 3 or 4 months earlier and had not been identified as at risk.
Well, the fact of the matter is that that bridge in 2006 had not only had a history of outside engineering consultants inspecting it, but there was a report given to the Minnesota Department of Transportation that highlighted the fact that the bridge was at risk for collapse, that it had dramatic need for $11 million of repairs, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation rejected those recommendations because the cost was a budget buster.
So when the report of, it was actually on May 2nd, which is May, June, July, it was 3 months earlier, it said that there is no serious problem. Was that just a bogus report?
I know of no such report that came out other than the one in 2006. The engineering consultants recommended the repairs. It was documented how serious that bridge was in terms of needing those repairs, but they were ignored. That bridge went down. It was a tragedy, an unnecessary one, and the American public paid $235 million to that state to rebuild a new bridge because the state itself refused to pay $11 million. And the reality, Bob, is that we have 8,000 similar bridges across our nation, an average of 160 per state, wow, which are in similar jeopardy and are being ignored daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly by our transportation officials and our public officials.
Okay, well, this is just a remote problem. New York is perfect, right? We have no problems locally, do we?
Well, as local as the Tappan Zee Bridge, you have a major problem that transports 140,000 vehicles a day across a bridge that annually for many, many years now has cost the state $100 million to keep afloat. And it is a bridge that every engineer, including the chief lieutenant for Governor Cuomo, has called it the Hold Your Breath Bridge. Need I say any more?
Well, yeah, you really do, because we all use that bridge regularly. What is a worst-case scenario with that bridge?
Well, the worst-case scenario is that there are major, major problems from cracking, from problems with maintenance. Pieces are falling into the Hudson River regularly. Rob Astorino, the county executive, was in my office some time ago and told me his own story of taking a boat out, going under the bridge, and looking up and being shocked that he saw patches of the sky. That should tell you about whether anyone should want to travel on that bridge.
All right, Barry, we're going to take a little break right here while I catch my breath and close my mouth, because that's jaw-dropping. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levinsohn. My guest is Barry LePatner. If you are listening in Fording Bridge or Castor Bridge, England, Bridgetown, Barbados, or Virginia, or Golden's Bridge, New York, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. This program is called Environmentally Sound, and we will be right back with Barry LePatner.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The new Pope gearing up for Mass in the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican, earlier touching base with his predecessor.
After the election and the events, the Holy Father called Pope Benedict, Pope Emeritus Benedict, on the telephone. At some point over the next days, he will go to visit at Castel Gandolfo.
Vatican spokesman Father Thomas Rozica, the suspect in a shooting rampage in upstate New York, is dead.
Kurt Myers has been shot and killed by police, ending the overnight standoff. He was hiding in a basement and was found by FBI dogs. After he shot a canine dog, police returned fire.
Fox Radio's Courtney Keeley, Myers suspected of killing two people at a barbershop in Mohawk, New York, two others at a car wash in neighboring Herkimer. And Honda recalling nearly a quarter million vehicles around the world for breaks that can suddenly kick in. Fox News, we report, you decide.
remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the New York National Guard, aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
These difficult economic times present a whole new set of problems for proprietors, owners of independent regional companies. But with all the change comes new opportunities. And we recommend the Rosenberg and Chesnoff Company, founded by Alan Rosenberg as a specialized accounting practice for independent local companies. Rosenberg and Chesnoff knows the pressures and problems of maintaining and growing a retail or service business. With offices in Westchester and Manhattan, Rosenberg and Chesnoff earned their rep advising large firms and high net worth individuals, but they have a special understanding of smaller, growing companies where they are today unequaled in that field. So if you're satisfied with your present accounting firm and advisors, so be it. But if you're looking for more brain power, creativity and dynamism from an independent accounting practice where they don't farm it out to a computer or a junior staffer, we suggest you call Alan Rosenberg's firm, Rosenberg and Chesnoff, for a free consultation. If you've been feeling it's time your accountant was a little more on your wavelength, Rosenberg and Chesnoff, 914-722-6901 or in Manhattan, 212-382-3939.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. This is Bob Lovinsohl. The program is Environmentally Sound. We're speaking with Barry LePatner, who is a construction attorney and author of Too Big to Fall, which is a comprehensive overview of the shocking state of our nation's infrastructure, specifically the bridges, and what must be done to fix it. Okay, Barry, what should be done to fix it? It seems to me that Washington is deadlocked, constipated, money is not flowing, and if it were flowing, infrastructure issues would be addressed. Now, the argument is, well, it would cost too much money, but you have a plan where for a mere $60 billion, with a B, dollars, all would be okay. Could you explain that?
Well, let's understand money flows out of Washington regularly. It's a question of where the politicians and the administration are giving priority. There is no doubt that from my speaking with people in Washington and state positions of authority, that $60 billion can be found to fix the top 2,000 of the 8,000 bridges that I am referring to on the SaveOurBridges.com map. And these 2,000 bridges are those bridges which roughly carry 25,000 vehicles a day or more. And the reason we can find the money is that at the end of the program that I have recommended all over the country is it's deficit neutral, because when you spend $60 billion, you're going to employ 1 to 2 million currently unemployed construction workers who are either on food stamps or unemployment. So you're going to save that at various levels of government. Secondly, as soon as you pay out this money, one-third of it comes back to the federal and state government in the form of income taxes. So we're really talking about $40 billion to fix bridges that millions and millions of people every day are at risk, personally, their families, and commercially, and from a standpoint of our competitiveness overseas and homeland security. We need to do a program where we stop worrying about other issues and reinvest in the infrastructure, which is the backbone of our nation.
Okay, you sold me, but I don't have $60 billion. How do you get it? What's wrong with Washington? Do they not understand? I mean, you say Rob Astorino, our county executive, was in your office. I'm sure, and you say that Governor Cuomo has called it a hold-your-breath bridge, something like that. What's the holdup? I mean, if so many lives are at risk, how will they explain it if the bridge does fall, or if any of these bridges does fall? Do they just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, we couldn't afford it, in the face of a solid plan which shows that they could?
Well, the typical reaction of a politician over the last several decades when it comes to bridge maintenance has been shrugging their shoulders. When I spoke to many around the country, what they said was, that bridge, I understand it's in lousy shape, but it's been standing there for 50 years before I got into office, and it'll be there for 50 years after I'm going to leave office. It's too big to fall, which gave rise to the title of the book. The reality of it is that the physics of bridge design, the physics, which is as immutable as you holding a glass of water and saying, if I let go, will it stop halfway between the floor and my hand, which is, of course, not so. The physics of these bridges are, they are way past their lifespan. They have not gotten needed maintenance. It would be the same as if you took your grandmother's wicker rocking chair, left it out in the garden, summer and fall and winter, never took care of it, and you know one day you're going to sit down and you're going to go right through that wicker, right to the floor, because it no longer has the structural integrity to support the weight it was intended. That is what these bridges are at the current moment.
So you're saying the politicians are just hoping it won't happen on their watch? Is that it?
And that's why the SaveOurBridges.com website is designed to let anybody put their zip code in and see within their area all of the dangerous bridges, hopefully mobilize their communities because their children are going over these bridges in yellow buses every day. They're going to churches and synagogues. There are railroads and commercial vehicles carrying goods to our stores. All of this is happening every day, and we're all at risk. So we want communities to go to their politicians and say, how could we be at risk like this? You have to go to Washington and forget about all the money for all the other bridges in America. You got to get the money to fix the bridges in our community.
And our engineer, Debbie, goes across that bridge to and from work every day.
I would hope she would reconsider for her and her family's sake.
Debbie, would you like to weigh in, say something about that? Or are you scared? She's shrugging her shoulders. She doesn't know. She can't.
It's a quandary. Yeah. Because, yes, you have to go way out of your way. But if you understand and you can see the details of all of this on the SaveOurBridges.com website, it's all laid out for the average person to know. It is not me opining on these bridges.
Right.
I have spoken before major engineering societies, such as the American Society of Civil Engineer conferences, before the American Council of Engineering Companies. I've spoken and written widely. No engineer does anything other than nod their head because they understand what I'm talking about.
Okay. So this website is SaveOurBridges.com, and the book is Too Big to Fall. I don't even know how to approach this. So we are basically facing a disaster, and nobody's addressing it, even though they know about it. And the money, when you talk about spending $60 billion, it's really not $60 billion because it puts many people to work, gets them off of public assistance of various sorts, including food stamps. So that's a saving to government. A third returns in income tax.
And when they get the money, Bob, they're going to buy clothing
and
for their children.
Stuff.
They're going to pay their mortgages or their rent. And remember, every time someone in their community spends money, someone else is making money that they're paying taxes on, and it goes around and around
of
that
course.
Community money.
That's economy. That's what an economy is.
We don't have an economy right now because nobody is spending.
Agreed. So what if you think it'll take a really rich guy falling off one of these bridges in his big fat limo and getting killed before people say, uh-oh, now it's hitting too close to home, we better do something?
Well, my hope is that we avoid the future tragedies. But let me put it into current perspective for you.
Please.
Not to wait for the next collapse. Since 1989, we have had nearly 600 bridge failures. The public doesn't know about this. These things are happening all over the country. The latest monster was about a year and a half ago in over the Ohio River between Indiana and Kentucky, oddly enough, the home states of John Boehner and Mitch McConnell. And it was called the Sherman-Minton Bridge. It carried 80,000 vehicles a day. And they inspect this every year, and all of a sudden they realize we have cracks throughout the bridge as large as soda cans, and they shut it at the last minute because the engineers realized it would have collapsed very shortly. We don't need these tragedies. We just need to take the annual reports that show these situations and see them for what they are, and please, please remember, our country has always built greatly, but we're doing a crummy job of maintaining these important facilities.
Absolutely. Now, you're going to be on 2020 on ABC this Friday night to be interviewed.
Tomorrow night at 10 o'clock.
You want to give us a little preview?
I am pleased for the opportunity to be on national TV. I've been there before, but to be at this time because there is an immediacy to recognizing that our entire infrastructure system, not just the Tappan Zee locally, but our entire infrastructure system is in really, really bad shape. Around this nation, we have 4,000 dams that are in danger of collapse and flooding downstream communities. This is documented. We have water pipes that bring us our drinking water around the nation that leak to the tune of 10 billion gallons a day, untended to. We have a power grid that we all know is suffering badly and needs major, major investment. We have ports that are not competitive with the ports all around the world. And our airports, if you live in New York City, as we all do, you just have to close your eyes and suffer through Kennedy, LaGuardia, and Newark airports.
Please, I just flew in and out of Kennedy, so.
Yeah, they're third world. Just travel around the rest of the world and see, and you just don't know how to acquaint ourselves with the most wonderful city in the world having these kinds of facilities.
Okay, Barry, we're out of time. It's a fascinating and very scary subject. We'll talk some more about this in the future. Watch, 2020, tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. And thanks a lot, Barry. I'll be talking to you.
My pleasure, Bob. Okay. Good to be with you.
I'd like to thank Barry LaPatner for taking the time to join us on Environmentally Sound today. All I can say to all this is just one more thing in the ongoing chronicle of the demise of Homo sapiens. Things we should be and could be taking care of and would be if we were a species destined to be successful in the long run. Alas, we are doomed to extinction unless the upcoming cataclysm actually inspires a consciousness-raising epiphany which takes hold. Our thought for the week, wise men say only fools rush in. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station. Thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy. I don't see Howard Sturman, but he may or may not be here. Join us tomorrow at Dudley's sometime between noon and 5. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.